Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Gary Ellison had to step out. He'll be back in a little bit. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Leroy Butler, the Packer Hall of Famer, inventor of the Game Day Brats, mild or spicy. You can go to GameDayBrats.com right now to take advantage of that. Leroy, some news coming out from Adam Schefter. With Antonio Brown's suspension eligible to end after Week 8, the Seattle Seahawks are now positioned to make a push to sign him, though they're not alone, league sources tell ESPN. Would Antonio Brown be a difference maker if Seattle were to sign him versus anybody else in the NFC?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, they had a chance to sign him before he started going through all his little antics. But, you know, when you take a mugshot, I've never taken one. It never happens, but that changes you. So, I mean, he's going to be a changed man.
I'm not willing to gamble on that statement. Well, I hope you're right. I hope he is a changed man.
Well, you know, everybody, when you hit rock bottom, man, you have to change. You can't go nowhere but up. But you're going to get him for 8 games. I mean, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I'm making a phone call.
That's what I want to see. I want to see if they're interested in him.
I did it from a long time ago.
You have been, yep.
Yeah, you should bring him in. I mean, he's a difference maker whether you get him in here for the last 4 games, 5 games, 6 games. It ain't about money because the Packers don't have a lot of money. But maybe, you know, they may give him a 2-year deal just to take him away from everybody. And then at that point, they can have him. No one will even talk about it. But, yeah, if you bring him in here, oh, yeah, he's a big difference maker because it'll be just about football here. And we ain't got no distractions in Wisconsin. Just come and play football.
Antonio Brown, Davante Adams, I'd be okay with that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hey, listen, got nothing to lose with that one. And that was – that. But this is the reason why Terrell and Ram and Louie and all of us, Packers, just show us you're interested. That's why the Bucks, and we'll talk about this later, having some interest in certain players. It may not even be true, but you like hearing your team leak out that they're interested. You know, like the Snacks hair thing. Okay, you lost out, but at least you was in it. And this takes me somewhere, Steve. When I was talking to our sister station down in 610 in Houston, I said, hey, man, listen, J.J. Watt need to come to Green Bay on a trade. They tried to get Khalil Mack. They did, man. We got evidence of that. They even said it. They tried to get Khalil Mack. Houston ain't going nowhere. Hey, man, put you a trade together. I don't know what it'll take. Bring J.J. Watt home, man. I would love to see that. I mean, now you're talking about a difference maker on that defensive line. No matter what you put, 4-3-3-4. Or whatever. Now you make a lot of money, but you're talking about winning the Super Bowl. These are the things the fans want to see. And I'm all right with it too, because I give people space. Now I used to say, no, we don't need to sign all these guys. But now, you know, I like to see the other side too. I mean, just see what happens if you pull a trick. Now I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what they're going to do up there, because they gave away a lot for Jamal Adams, okay? They did. They gave away a lot. But their fan base like it because they went and did something. And if it don't work, they still got the worst defense in the league. But hey, we did something. I mean, I don't know if he'll fit with Lockett though, because I think there'll be too many people in those slots, so they'd have to move him outside, and that's where DK Metcalf on the other side. But it'll still be a weapon that you have to, you know, account for. So I'm praying and hoping maybe this year or next year you try to trade for J.J. Watt, let him finish his career in a Packer uniform.
He is Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Now we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. Zach Lowe does a weekly podcast from ESPN. And the Bucks came up and conversation came to Eric Bledsoe, the much talked about point guard for the Bucks, and some have talked about he very well may be dealt this offseason. What does Zach Lowe think?
I do think I'd be shocked if Eric Bledsoe was on that team next year.
I would be very surprised if they didn't do something big-ish, medium-sized, whatever you consider that kind of trade, Bledsoe and some other stuff for X. I would be very surprised if they didn't do something like that.
Who is X? What about this?
I'll give you a team I'm keeping an eye on with Victor Oladipo. You ready?
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Oh.
Just keeping my eye on him. That's all I'm saying. So I'm going to say, keep my eye on him.
And I'll translate that to say somebody in the organization is probably telling him that they're interested in Oladipo. Because the dude, the dude consistently, like I said, is the mouthpiece out in front of this thing for the Milwaukee Bucks. So whatever he says, I kind of just roll with and just assume that's what's going on. So would the Bucks acquiring Victor Oladipo move the needle at all for you as a fan? Meaning, you know, would you get excited if they got Oladipo? Now, again, it's going to be at the expense of Bledsoe more than likely.
People don't like Bledsoe, no way.
Well, again, I understand. Yeah. But now you're talking about Oladipo either as, you know, the starting point guard or the opportunity to have maybe George Hill as a starting point guard, Oladipo off of the ball. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this with Oladipo. But do remember, Oladipo is in the last year of his contract at $21 million. And then after that, Oladipo is a free agent.
To rental.
Correct. Segment brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. For grizzly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now with winter, or I should say win winter, with a Toro. So what do you say, Leroy Butler? Would the Bucks acquiring Victor Oladipo from the Pacers move the needle at all for you as a Bucks fan? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan.
Nah, it don't. Because you won a bunch of games, not in the playoff, but you won a bunch of games with Bledsoe. So that Oladipo don't do nothing for me, Steve. I don't see nothing dynamic about his game that would make me, maybe I don't watch a lot of his games, maybe a few, but he don't, yeah, they didn't, that didn't even, if I was on the EKG machine, I don't think it would have went up with that.
So if it's Oladipo, Middleton, Giannis, really no different than Bledsoe, Middleton, and Giannis for you then?
During the regular season, I think it's the same. I mean, I think it's the same. I mean, because I think it's a type of a player you looking for that can shoot outside, handle the ball, and that can get the ball to Giannis and get up and down the court. And Bledsoe got some suffocating defense at times.
He does.
And rebounding. So you gotta be careful when you do that. But if I don't know if I would do that for a rental, you know. But maybe the Bucks fans say, yeah, I like how we're going for it. But they've been going for the last, you know, 2 years. It don't do nothing for me.
But
I'm willing to listen. But what you think, Steve? I mean, you've been hosting the show for 25 years. I mean, you know more about the Bucks. And one last thing. I don't think the Bucks leaked nothing out to Zach Lowe. I think he just saying that's a good fit.
Oh, okay.
So you can take it however you want to. Yeah. I don't think the Bucks organization don't do it like that. They're first class.
Yeah,
they
just like McCarthy talks to Jay Glazer.
I agree with you.
I've seen it. I've watched it. I've been there and seen it with my own two eyes. I know what that is about.
I agree with you.
And Peter King and Brett Favre, look, everybody's
I'm agreeing with you.
Well, hold on. Everybody's got their connections to media members that they talk to.
I agree.
And I'm telling you,
Agholor is one connected to the Bucks. With the Bucks acquiring Victor Oladipo,
what story did he connect with
at all for you? Just go back and look through the history of stuff, including the Jabari Parker, one, which then Jabari Parker blew up in Zach Lowe's face, and then Zach Lowe then wrote an article after that saying
that
Bucks pretty much gave him the wrong information, according to what Jabari said. So,
Interesting.
Wendy's is taking the pretzel bundle a whole new level, introducing our new pretzel bacon pub cheeseburger. It takes a quarter pound of fresh beef, Munster cheese, applewood smoked bacon, a smoky honey mustard, crispy fried onions, and a warm beer cheese sauce. All on a pretzel bun. At participating Wendy's for a limited time only. With the Bucks acquiring Victor Oladipo, move the needle at all for you. Take your calls and tweets coming up next here on The Fan.
I do think I'd be shocked if Eric Bledsoe was on that team next year.
I would be very surprised if they didn't do something big-ish, medium-sized, whatever you consider that kind of trade, Bledsoe and some other stuff for X. I would be very surprised if they didn't do something like that. I'll give you a team I'm keeping an eye on with Victor Oladipo. You ready?
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Oh.
Just keeping my eye on him. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say. Keep my eye on him.
Oh.
There he is, Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons. Not a fan of that dude at all. Zach Lowe podcast, never been a fan of him. Ever since he wrote that piece years ago saying he could be the general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks better than anybody else that was in that role at that time.
You never said that.
Your old co-host may have said he could be a manager of a baseball team. Never in my life have I ever said I could do it. No.
That was my
That's the first
definitely
thing
not
Homer
me.
Told me. No. When Homer told me, introduced me to you, he said, Steve should run a team. That's what he told me.
Yeah, and then you defended
Jamal. And you didn't say nothing.
And then you defended Jamal Reynolds. With a straight
face. What's wrong with that? I defend you with a straight face. I defend Gary.
What the Bucks?
I defend Plucker. I defend everybody.
Well, there's nothing to defend with Plucker. He's never done anything wrong in his life.
Well, I'm just saying I defend him when people don't agree with him. I defend him.
With the Bucks acquiring Victor Oladipo, move the needle at all for you. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. GE, Leroy says it does absolutely nothing for him. What about you?
Well, if they can make it happen, yeah, it does something for me because it gives you a shooter and it gives you a guy that can create off the dribble and get his own bucket. I mean, he'd be better than Bledsoe. I mean, I don't know what the trade deal is or how they make that work. But, yeah, I mean, for me, most certainly an upgrade over Bledsoe. Does it bother you
that it's essentially a rental with him in the last year of his deal at $21 million?
Well, all that bothers me. And I said that to you before. I said, you know what, I don't want a player that we're just going to rent for a year. I mean, I just don't want that. So you give a Bledsoe and basically you get nothing back in return. And now you got to try to follow that up and then try to pay this guy the max. And you're not going to pay him the max. So he's just a rental, one-year rental. He's gone. You got to figure out how to pay Giannis. So you got to pay him the max. So yeah, I mean, I don't want one-year deals. But just on the basis, Steve, is my team better with Oladipo than it is with Bledsoe? Yes, it is.
The one thing about Oladipo is his ability to stay out there. Last year, he played 19 games, started 16 of them. 2018-19, 36 games. 2017-18, he did play 75 games. And that year, when he actually played 75 games, he averaged 23 points, led the league in steals at 2.5 steals per game, 4 assists, 5 rebounds a game. Shot 52%, I'll check that, 47% from the field, 52% from two-point range. From three-point range, he shot 37% from three, which is a pretty decent number from three-point range. It took average almost 6 threes per game. It took 17.9 shots per game that year in 2017-18. hitting about 8.5 of them, 34 minutes a night. He'll never play 34 minutes a night in Milwaukee. He'd be lucky if he sees 30.
And listen to this. He plays the whole season here, and here's why. One, because Budenholzer ain't going to let him do that. Two, he's not the main guy, so he don't have to put that much torque or pressure on his body. He's a complimentary player, but he's going to play off of Giannis. He's going to play off of Middleton. Listen, I mean, if there's a three, I like that three better than I like Bledsoe with that three.
With Middleton and Giannis, right.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree. I like Oladipo better than Bledsoe.
I don't like Rental.
From a scoring perspective.
What did he do for you, Steve?
Well, everything that Gary just said. I think he's absolutely correct. He can shoot the outside shot better than him. He can create just as well, if not better than him as well. But to your point, Leroy, he may not be the defender that Bledsoe is when Bledsoe wants to play defense. Bledsoe's the better defender, without question. But he does have the ability to generate steals, and I think he's better in transition probably than Bledsoe is as well at this point. And the other point about this whole thing is it is a rental. So if it doesn't work out, you're done. You're not stuck with three more years of Oladipo at $20-some million, and you have no way of getting out of it. If it doesn't work, then you move on and you go find yourself another guard of the following offseason, and that offseason is loaded with free agents. So
I don't think you can beat Miami with Oladipo.
They should have beat Miami with Bledsoe, but we won't get into that. Let's just move on. Tony and Racine, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary and Leroy.
What's up, Gary and Leroy? What's up?
What's going on?
Man, come out that hallway, man.
I'm not doing that. You know what? That sounds like a Ted Thompson move. Let's draft a guard.
Ted Thompson move. I like that.
Into a tackle, and you have a tackle right on the board. That sounds like a super Ted Thompson move right there. With these veteran point guards available, I would rather put him to the weapon. I shoot him or either Lonzo Ball or somebody like that, because he messing around with other people. When, like you say, he's probably a rental, and he puts up with any injury form. And like you said, I don't see you beat Miami because you go get out all the people. I don't see that. So what are you going to do?
Well, who's that guy then that does move the needle for you, that they have the assets to get this offseason?
Gotta see who's out there.
I like to get a hold of Derrick Rose. I keep hearing that he's going to the Lakers.
Derrick Rose, yeah. Rose is a guy that I think I would be fine with as well as I think with most other guys. He's not making that much money. Only making, what, $7, $8 million a year, something like that. He's not making much.
But hold on, Foggy. This is what they really need to do. This upcoming draft, there's going to be somebody that's going to fall off to them at 20. You know? Let's hope they don't screw it up. See, that's what the Bucks really – they always screw up on draft. They got a history of that. They're afraid to pick away, or they'll do something stupid. But what they need to do is, if a kid that's going to be on the board, the kid from Iowa State, Morgan Sutter, what is his name, Tyler Boynton, Burton, I think it's him, he might be on the board at 20 if the Bucks don't screw that up, and he'll Malcolm Brogdon type, because that's what really hurt us when we let go of Malcolm Brogdon. So you mean you're going to say, let some guys in Indiana play with Brogdon and bring back, broke up all the people?
That is the actual funny part of it, that you would put Bledsoe and Brogdon back in the same backcourt against you throughout the season. Thanks for the call, Tony. That is exactly how that would work. You would give them back to them. Now, again, they have a new coach down there. They hired an assistant from Toronto for the Pacers. So I think all of this plays into it. I think it plays into if Oladipo is unhappy. Pritchard down there, the GM, said he hasn't heard anything from Oladipo's people saying they want to trade to this point, and he's talked to Oladipo. Seems like he's in a good space at this moment in time. And then you hear, you know, the media guys, Wojnarowski, Zach Lowe, and these other guys, all convinced that Oladipo will be on the move in the last year of his deal. So, this again goes back to, if you have a guy in the last year of his deal and you're not convinced that he wants to be with you long term, are you better off playing it out with him, like Indiana would do with Oladipo, or are you better off moving him and getting some longer-term assets that would help you long-term versus playing the short-term run with Oladipo? And that really is what Indiana has to decide at this point. And I think most are thinking that they'll decide to move on from Oladipo. And I don't know if starting a rebuild would be the correct point, because you got Sabonis down there, you got Miles Turner down there, you've got Brogdon. You've got some pieces, not pieces to win a championship with necessarily, but pieces nonetheless to be a playoff team year in and year out. Trell on the north side, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show. With the Bucks acquiring Victor Oladipo, move the needle at all for you, Trell?
Nah, it wouldn't move the needle. For one, we make so many things about Brogdon being injury prone. Every time I bring Chris Paul up, everybody's talking about he's old and injury prone. Mm-hmm. What is Victor Oladipo? Is he not injury prone?
Yep.
It would appear that way.
Four different basketball teams?
Yep.
Like Gary Ellison would say he's somebody else's trash. definitely, Chris Paul, it's a no-brainer. It's not rocket science. I don't know why they're trying to make it something that's not. The Milwaukee Bucks need a point guard. They don't need a guard who can play guard. Otherwise, why didn't you pay Brogdon? You're going to pay Oladipo 27. Why didn't you pay Brogdon? If you had that contract on the books, you'd be able to trade that contract right now if you wanted to, but you chose not to keep it. Chris Paul's a no-brainer, not just from a basketball standpoint.
He going to the Lakers. Trell, stop saying
exactly.
That.
But listen, Leroy.
See, don't be trying to get him away from us.
And this is why I don't have no faith in the organization. And if they prove me wrong, as a Bucks fan, I would love it. But I don't believe them. When you start giving these nuggets to people like Zach Lowe and Eric Name and things like that to hush down the talk of Chris Paul, and you start bringing up money, when you just said it wasn't about money, you start bringing up money. Now, I would understand an argument for Chris Paul as far as him getting injured. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. You got me. Can't say much about that. But as far as him being on the basketball floor, he makes this team exponentially better, for one. For two, he's a leader, one of the best leaders in the history of basketball. He's a clutch player, something that none of these Buck players know how to do, as we've seen in the playoffs for a couple years in a row. That's another thing. And he lets Giannis operate in his strong suit. In the playoffs, you have to have somebody who can break down in half-court offense. Otherwise, you're going to see offense like the Bucks, where they look like the Incredible Hulk during the regular season, and then they look like James in the postseason. You got to have somebody who can break down zones, because teams are not going to play Giannis one-on-one. We can get that out of our head. He's going to deal with this until he proves that he can beat this. So as a team, as an organization, if this is a guy you said you want to be your franchise player and be a part of your team, and you want to win championships because he wants to win championships, you need to deliver as far as the roster, period. No excuses, none about money. You gained your money and your asset already. Spend it now. I don't want to hear none of these excuses. These owners claim that when we got to this point, it wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, but now they have no fans.
I don't hear reporters talking about money is an issue.
Well, now they have no fans. So that's what the issue is going to be, Trell. The fact of the matter is this pandemic – hurt everybody, and if there's no guarantee of fans again next season, and right now there can't be a guarantee of fans. Look, the Milwaukee Wave, I'll just use this quickly. The Milwaukee Wave just canceled their season, and the reason they canceled their season, according to Mike Zimmerman, who owns them, was the Milwaukee Health Department wouldn't grant them more than 250 people in their building. And he flat out said, the owner, that, look, I need 4,000 in order to pretty much break even and make some money here. And I'm just not willing to kind of go through this with only 250 people. And therefore, the Wave canceled their season. So if that's where they're at, now think about how many people the Bucks would need to have into their stadium that they're not going to be granted access to at this point because of where the COVID numbers are. And if you're not making that money, but yet you're expected to pay Giannis the Supermax and you want to go into the luxury tax, again, I think that's a big ask at this point.
I think it's a billion-dollar business, so I can't really compare them to the Wave right now. So
right, agreed.
That's one.
Exactly.
For two, this is what I'm going to say, and I'm going to get off the line. I don't believe Giannis is going to sign the Supermax this offseason.
I don't think he will either. I think he plays it out.
I think he's going to see what the Bucks choose to do, and that's where my trepidation comes in. I don't believe they're going to move the needle. I believe they're going to make some moves, try to make the roster better or around the edges like they did last year. I don't think they're going to make a big move, because if you make a big move, whether it works or not, you have a loyalty clause with Giannis that we got a big-time player. we can't take credit for what goes on the floor. You guys got to get that done. But mm-hmm. we got you a big-time player. If you go anywhere less under there, that's where the chirps become ocean sprays around the league. And trust me, his agent is not loyal to Milwaukee. So just remember that.
But remember something else, Trell. Remember who's in charge of this organization right now. His last name is Lazary. This is a lot different than Wesley Edens. Lazary is a super fan. Lazary's the one that went out and got Kidd while Drew and John Hammond and Jabari Parker were having a presser. He was finagling away to get Jason Kidd here while he still had a head coach. If anybody is going to force the issue and deal away a ton of draft picks and do some crazy over-the-top move to get somebody, it's going to be Mark Lazary, y'all. I'm just telling you. If anybody's going to do something a little radical and out of the box and go for it, as Leroy would say, it's going to be this guy. I promise you, it's going to be this dude. So he can brag to all his boys and all his friends, man, I got player X, and we're going to win this thing with Giannis and him.
That if you're going to lose a bunch of money, he's still a billionaire. He ain't going to lose no money.
Yeah, but draft picks don't cost you anything. You can trade ones till the cows come home. You can trade Bledsoe. You can. There's ways to make things work out one way or the other. I'd say he's going to go in the luxury
tax. That's what Terrell is saying. Make him work.
So we'll find
out. Don't use that as an excuse. They got plenty of money.
Are you for or against Friday night kickoffs for college football? Because the Badgers and Illini play coming up on Friday night. And Gary is conflicted for the first time, possibly. We'll discuss that coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show. This segment brought to you by Toro Snowblowers for grizzly winters. You need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro and win the window game with Pella, Gary.
Absolutely. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Guys, through the end of October, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin offering no money down, no interest, and no payments for 24 months when you replace your leaky old windows and doors now. Or choose 2.99 APR financing for 12 years. Guys, Pella now, pay later with no money down, no interest, and no payments for 24 months or 12-year 2.99 APR financing. To approve credit now through October 31st. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom or PellaWI.com for details. Guys, set your free consultations today at PellaWI.com.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler as we broadcast live from the G. Widener Plumbing Studios. GWidenerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. We'll hear from David Bakhtiari coming up in the next segment. If you missed it yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show, it ended up being David Bakhtiari and myself one-on-one because we had some technical issues that did not allow Gary and Leroy, who are at home, to be able to broadcast during that portion of the show. So you'll hear David Bakhtiari and mine's conversation coming up in the next segment. Quickly here, though, are you for or against Friday night kickoffs for college football, and namely the Badgers? I guess we'll first start with Leroy Butler. Leroy, what do you think of Friday night football for college, knowing that there's high school football on most Friday nights across the country? And Leroy's not there. Here we go again.
He's having technical issues over there.
Go ahead, Gary.
Well, yeah, you know what? I never, because when they started playing this, there were people talking about this. I think maybe 3 years ago when they started. So I'm not really sure when they started. And I heard a lot of people talking about, well, you know, Friday night's supposed to be for the high school kids. And because you had college on Saturday, Friday night you had high school Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, and you got the pro. So you kind of like everybody had their own night, right? And now all of a sudden, you know, within the last 3-4 years, you starting to add Friday night football on for college football. And I didn't really pay it no mind because it really didn't affect me. But now that I have a son that's playing high school football, it's a bit different. And it really didn't hit me, Steve, until Monday. Brock says to me, Dad, when did the Badgers play? I go, they play Friday night. He goes, and he gave me this crazy look, and I go, oh, yeah, that's right, you play Friday night. I said, don't worry about it, I'll be at your game. But before that, it never really affected me about, you know, I just kind of like one off. I mean, I just kind of like, okay, yeah, it's Friday night, whatever. I'll watch it anyway because, I, you know, if it's on Friday night, I'll just skip Muskego football game and watch it. You know, I watch the Badgers. Well, now I'm not doing it, and I can't do that. So I'm thinking that a lot of other people who are having players or kids that are in high school that play on Friday night, it actually does affect them. Where before it, you know, and that's maybe that's kind of selfish of me to think, you know, that way, Steve, because it didn't bother me, it didn't affect me, so I don't think about anybody else, only thought about myself. Maybe that's a little bit selfish, but I guess that's the world I live in until it started affecting me.
So for you now, it's an issue. Leroy, are you back?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an issue, Steve, but it most certainly, I'm thinking about it more than I ever have, that why are they doing this on Friday night? They should let high school football be high school football on Friday night.
Leroy, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a pandemic and things are going to be this way. And I think if it wasn't Graham Mertz's debut, it wouldn't be a big deal. But if my son was playing high school, I'm going to watch my son play. Nothing supersedes that. That's not even a conflicting thing with me at all. I can always watch the Badgers. But
you can DVR it and watch it later.
Yeah, I can watch that later. I'm going to go watch my son. I ain't missing that. Nah, nothing gets me away from that.
All right. So that is the question on the table. And for me, I don't have, you know, kids playing high school football. So for me, it's not being a big issue. But if I did, correct. I would just DVR the game and go home and watch it Friday night after the game or watch it later that weekend or whatever. From that perspective, but it's different, I guess, for Leroy and me because we didn't go to Madison. We didn't play for the Badgers. I mean, the loyalty that Gary has to that football program is highly different than, say, the average person that just watches it for entertainment. Right, Gary?
No, his loyalty is to his son. He ain't got no loyalty to the Badgers. He don't work for them. He just have to cover them because that's his job.
Right. No. The man's had season tickets way before he had this job.
He's paying tickets. He ain't giving it to him.
So what does that matter?
He's paying for tickets.
If he's paying for that does mean how important it is for him. When was the last time you paid for tickets?
No.
To anything.
You're missing the point. And I think you always miss the point when you be yelling. Try to listen one time. If you paying for something, that's different from somebody giving it to you.
Right.
Steve.
If they give it to you, it doesn't mean as much.
Your son, man, your daughter, that means more to you than you got something you got to pay for.
I didn't
say. You can't never get that time. That's why I say you weren't listening. So you
weren't listening to me.
But it don't matter.
Go ahead.
Let me finish my point and you can finish your point. Everything ain't got to always be a screen match with you. Somebody don't agree with you, Steve. That's the only thing I'm saying. I'm saying to me, now you say what you want. To me, I can't get that my son time back. I just cover the Badgers. I'm just covering the Badgers. I guess I'm Gary Ellison. I just cover them. I can watch them anytime. I got 3 days until I have to talk about it. But my son, that's not on national TV. I can't watch these guys. I'm going to put in for my son. You can't, don't. I hope parents say not going watching their kids go watch a Badger game. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a family. To me, it's first. How can that be an issue? I just don't understand that. But that's me. Now, you can say what you want to say. Go ahead. You got the flow. Go ahead.
Good. I never said it wasn't about
say
more important than his
matter.
Kid. Never at
say.
Any point did I say
that's
that.
That's what I said. So you can say what you want to say now. Go ahead.
What I said was he has loyalty because he played for the Badger program. And that's far different than, say, me who didn't play for him or you who didn't play for him. I would assume you'd have more loyalty to watching Florida State on a Saturday than
not
would Gary.
To my son.
Did I ever say that?
But that's the only
you
thing
keep
we're comparing
implying
it to.
Crap. I'm not
but that's the
that.
Only thing we're comparing it to, Steve.
I can compare it to whatever I want.
But we're comparing it to the conflict, right? Ain't that the question? Is
but
that the question?
You are not. I'm done. You're not listening.
So
you,
it's not the question.
You believe
is
in
it the
saying
question
whatever
or not?
You want. David Bakhtiari next. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fancy. Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. Tuesdays at 4:35, we have David Bakhtiari on the show. Presented to you by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. And David Bakhtiari joined us yesterday. Had some technical issues, so Gary and Leroy weren't able to be a part of the interview. So it ended up being David Bakhtiari and myself, and started off talking about how he was feeling and how his injury was doing.
I don't like ever disclosing my injuries. I can just tell you that it's definitely not season ending, and I'm just going to take it one day, one step at a time, and I'll be back out there.
Are you playing this Sunday, though? Can we talk about this Sunday?
I gave you more than enough, more than I've said to anyone.
Yeah, so. All right. I'll take it.
I'll leave it at that.
I got no Gary and Leroy here to interrupt me, so I'm trying to get used to this whole one-on-one thing with you. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the game from over the weekend. I mean, you guys go up 10-0. I think the fan base is thinking, like, all right, hey, they may run away and hide in this game against Tampa Bay. And then there's the pick six that Aaron throws, and then the pick right after that. How did that kind of change the vibe, I guess, if it changed it at all, as far as in the huddle, on the sidelines, with this offensive unit after those two picks?
I mean, never good having turnovers in general. That's for starters. And then secondly, you know, when you throw a pick six, that hurts the offense, kind of the momentum that we had. And then both of them back-to-back, it just didn't put us in a good position. And then we weren't able to counter, get out, put our defense in good positions. And then, you know, the game started slipping away. And you got to tip your hat to the Bucks. You know, they stayed strong. They kept at it. And they're a good football team. And they're good up front. They're a good defense. And they nothing else to it other than the fact that they went out there and they beat us. They stayed true to who they were, and they got the better of us that day.
Talking Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari here on the Wendy's Big Show on 1250 AM, The Fan. There's been some comparison and conversation about that San Francisco defense and that front seven and the issues that they provided versus what this Tampa Bay front seven looked like. Can you compare and contrast the two?
Which ones are you kind of broke
San
out?
San Francisco last year versus Tampa.
I mean, they're both good fronts, both fronts that you definitely need to prepare for. I would say on the top end, and I don't want to say who was better or the other, because I don't want to be any bulletin board material. But
sure.
Both good talented fronts, and fronts that, you know, need to be respected, and you need to have a good game when you go out and play them. You can't just show up and expect for them to roll over, because that's not the type of fronts that those guys are. They're going to battle you for four straight quarters, and they got playmakers all across the line, and even on their linebackers. I think that's the one thing I can compare and say that was pretty even was definitely their linebacker play. They got fast, athletic linebackers that if you can't take care of and make sure to keep them guessing, they can kind of, I wouldn't say expose you, but they can definitely get after you in the run game and put us in tough situations.
So let's talk about that for a second, because from a fan perspective, which is where I'm coming from, I'm not the former player like Gary or Leroy. So when you're maybe struggling a little bit there in the first half with dealing with that speed of the linebackers and so forth, are there adjustments that you can make as a line to try and overcome that, or is it more just a physical thing than anything?
No, it's really just kind of staying true to who we are, doing what we can, but just keep, you know, being cognizant of, you know, the talent that is playing at linebacker, and don't let them get on a groove. Don't let them start, you know, making plays. And when they start making plays, they get more energized. They got a good feel for the game. I mean, I got to tip my hat to them. Those are two very good linebackers, and they were respected going into the game, and they kind of were as advertised.
Let's talk about. Go ahead.
They did a very good job.
Let's talk about Sue just for a moment here. Aaron Rodgers is on the Pat. Well, just because Rodgers brought it up today on the Pat McAfee show, and you know, he was asked by him and AJ Hawk about the whole Brett Favre and Warren Sapp thing about how, yeah, they kind of went back and forth, but it was kind of more of a friendly thing. And then Rodgers, and I don't have the sound right now, we're having some issues on this side here in the building, but kind of just said that, you know, it wasn't necessarily pleasantries being exchanged between the two of him, of them. From your perspective as an offensive lineman in dealing with a guy like Sue, is it his mouth? Is it his actions? Like, what is it that gets under everybody's skin when they got to deal with that guy?
I'd say more of his actions. I mean, guys talk. That's kind of the nature of the beast. But, you know, actions speak louder than words, so to speak. And with him, I mean, he's just throughout his history, he has done what he's done. And you can't really say one way or another or try and make it look good. I mean, he's done dirty things, and he's gotten fined for that, you know, to significant amounts, I believe, to six figures worth. And that kind of just talks about, you know, who he is. If he's got someone in a compromised position, granted, depending on how he's feeling, he will potentially take advantage or expose. That's an individual, and that's not something that I would really co-sign with.
What about from a game planning? I don't know if a game plan necessarily is the right way to phrase it, but when you're going into a game dealing with a guy like Sue as offensive lineman, are you guys kind of a little bit more head on a swivel, kind of a little bit more aware of where he's at and what he's up to regarding your quarterback or other offensive linemen around you?
No, going into the game, our biggest thing was, you know, to keep him in check and make sure, one, he doesn't get going, because I think he gets it's just to keep him in check. That's the main thing, is making sure that he doesn't do anything, because if we give him any bit of slack, he will, like you saw, he'll take any and all cheap shots. And that's something that we knew going into the game, and that he, when had the opportunity to, would capitalize on.
Talking with David Bakhtiari, Packers All-Pro left tackle, here on the Wendy's Big Show on 1250 AM. The Fancy, Sparky Pfeiffer and David Bakhtiari. What about that play where Rodgers, well, we thought it was a touchdown at that moment. They ended up pulling it away, but where he dives in the end zone. Winfield Jr. Takes that shot at him at that moment in time. Your thoughts on that play?
I saw the tail end of it. I really just saw Aaron on the ground. And immediately, I mean, my first reaction is run over there and do what we do best, protect him in any way, in any fashion. And it was awesome to see guys like Robert Tonyan, who were already close to the play, get in on the action early, kind of let that guy know that was, I can't use the word on the radio, but it was not okay. And we were going to physically let him know and have our presence felt. And then, you know, once the cavalry ran in, we let it be known. But I was happy to see Aaron pop up right away, let us know that the hit didn't hurt him, and go ahead and celebrate and do what you do, man. I mean, if you put yourself out in the line like that and your body like that, we, you know, go right ahead and celebrate and make us feel good for what you just did.
I don't think that celebration was okay. I don't think. I mean, I can appreciate how good he is as a quarterback. That celebration, I'm not quite sure it was family appropriate either at this moment in time, David.
I thought it was hilarious. That's from Key and Peele, and
yep.
I hope he does it more often. I that's one of my favorite episodes of Key and Peele. I thought he executed the the pumps to perfection. Honestly,
it was funny. He didn't realize that you guys went and took up for him on that hit. So he popped up and he said to them, Pat McAfee Show, he's like, I'm looking around like, oh, what's going on? And realized that you guys were overdoing that, and then had to make a decision of whether or not he was going to do it. And by that point, Tonyan was kind of coming over. So he decided to do it, which, again, very funny. No matter who you are, I think you probably laughed at that Aaron Rodgers celebration. So that game is done. I've heard Rodgers, Kenny Clark, Billy Turner, and others say, well, you know, us getting our butt kicked maybe is a wake-up call and gets us going in the right direction. We've heard Matt LaFleur this week say you guys had three bad days of practice last week. I guess my question, again, from a fan perspective, is there any way to know whether or not the team is kind of feeling themselves and needs a wake-up call at that moment in time? I asked Leroy that, and he said that he thought it was kind of hard to kind of, you know, get that feel when you're in the locker room and you're playing at that moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, there are times we've gone to a game and I've felt a certain way, a vibe, and we've gone out there and I've been completely incorrect. It was like my instincts were wrong, and there's times where I've felt a certain way going to a game. My instincts were absolutely right. So it's really just you have to kind of find you have to temp or kind of gauge how the team reacts based on what's going on around us. And, you know, I agree with them. A lot of people were talking about how great we were, and clearly, you know, I would definitely use it as some sort of wake-up call. And I wouldn't say I'm glad because I want to go 16-0 every game.
There you go.
Or every year. And I want to win every single game we can because that's why we go out there and play the game. We play the game to win. But if that's what guys need to kind of come back to reality, so to speak, and kind of be humble, because it's a very humbling league. You can take all the accolades you want for what people say about you, but at the end of the day, you didn't get there by just feeling good about yourself. You got there through grinding, through hard work, through your preparation, and that's what you need to stick to. And I think that's, you know, I have had conversations with Corey about it. We've been around a long time and playing this game together. That was one thing that we kind of had talked about, that you have to weather the storm, either when it's a good storm or a bad storm. You have to try as hard as you can to stay, I wouldn't say as neutral as possible, but you have to stay on your path and what your preparation is and not really stray from that. Whether you're on the highs of highs or lows of lows, and that's how you, throughout a course of a season, how you stay as consistent as possible.
Talking with David Bakhtiari, Packers all-pro left tackle here on The Fan. I want to follow up. So coming off of a bye week then, and like you said, you've played the game a long time, coming off of a bye week in the NFL, did you find it year to year that maybe it's a little bit more difficult for these guys, teammates and so forth, to maybe find that same concentration level than versus, say, playing 4 or 5 weeks in a row and you're going through it each week time and time again versus coming off a bye week? Maybe it's a little bit more difficult.
Sorry, you broke out again. What did you say?
As far as concentration level goes, you know, going into that next week of practice coming off of a bye week, does concentration tend to be an issue coming off of a bye week in most years, or was this kind of an anomaly as far as your time in Green Bay?
Again, I think it just it speaks to the preparation and the I would just say how well we can handle success and failure. You
sure.
know, it's gonna say a lot about our team. You know, obviously we need to stay true to who we are and what we do, and that shows because, you know, this is a very competitive league. On the other side of the coin, you know, how do we respond to adversity? Now, we just had a team basically punch us right in the mouth. How are we going to respond? And I would anticipate and assume that we are going to respond with how we play Packer football. And that right there will tell a lot, and then it'll help us whenever we're in the situation again. Because that's why I always enjoy facing adversity, because then you know how to navigate once you're in a compromised situation. Because if you've never been in a compromised situation, you don't really know how to get out of it and how to work through it. And I think that, you know, I hate comparing us to, like, military. But, I mean, like, when they, you know, all their courses and all the preparation that they go through, they've had them face as much adversity, if not even worse adversity, than they would face out there, so then they can basically perform even better when called upon. And they know how to respond.
Next up for the Packers, the Houston Texans this week. Your thoughts on facing that Texans defense?
I think it's a good front. I think they're a hungry football team that hasn't won as much as they'd like. And again, I think we're going to get their best shot. So, you know, coming in, I think biggest thing, you got to buckle that chin strap and get ready for a 4-quarter battle. And, you know, weather the storm. I think that's the most important thing for us going into this game.
What did you do on your bye week since you had that time off?
we had to stay in town. We had COVID testing every day, so really just took I went fishing, spent some time with the missus, and
did you make some wreaths?
I did not. She did. I did not.
It would have been a perfect time for you to learn how to do it so you can help in the off season.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and leave the wreath making business to her. I'll just be on the finance side.
And that website again is what? Frankie'sWreathCo.com? Frankie'sWreathCo.com.
FrankiesWreathCo.com. Or I think FrankiesWreathCo. Yeah, FrankiesWreathCo.com. Go check it out. I mean, she makes everything from anything seasonal to any, and they're all custom. They're one of one, made to you, for you, by her.
And I was thinking about that too. I mean, if you, we talk about Thanksgiving and Halloween and those things, but you could always do something around your kid's baseball team or football team or basketball team or something along those lines too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so funny seeing the certain wreaths she's had to make and the customizations, and I think that's awesome. I never expected this many people to enjoy that many wreaths And the cool thing about them that I appreciate is that they last forever. So when you're buying it, it's not something you're getting just to last for a few months, because how she makes it and what she uses lasts a lifetime.
David Bakhtiari, thanks so much for coming on. Next week, I think we'll have Gary and Leroy back with us. We'll have these issues fixed, and they'll join me. And good luck against the Texans this week if you play. You did say you're not out for the season, so I'm very happy about that. Maybe we'll get more out of you next week.
Yeah.
Keep working on it.
Probably the week goes on. I think information will come out, but appreciate it. Thank you, and you take care.
There he is, David Bakhtiari on the Wendy's Big Show yesterday. Joins us every Tuesday at 4:35, Gary. Take anything out of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was trying to figure out what that dance thing was, Steve. So, what is it? Kinnikinnika or something? What is
yeah,
it?
it's from a movie. Was it from Plucker? Yeah, would probably know this. Plucker, what was that thing that Aaron Rodgers was doing, that little three pump action that he had going on there?
It was from Key and Peele, a YouTube video. TV show.
Yeah.
Key and Peele.
Yeah, YouTube video. They funny, I guess.
Man.
Yeah.
Two brothers. Real funny.
Key and Peele.
Yeah, you remember the guy that made Get Out?
Yeah.
Yeah, him, and then they do a lot of different stuff, but they got a whole thing together. Was they on Comedy Central, I think? They're very, very funny.
Oh, I never heard of a mess like that.
He's executive producer for Lovecraft Country, too. I love that thing on HBO.
Y'all see the breaking news out there?
What's the breaking news, Gary?
Y'all ain't see it?
About Antonio Brown?
We
we talked about that earlier before the Bakhtiari interview. Yeah.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown and the Seahawks, but other teams apparently also interested in Antonio Brown, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. But weirdly, would it shock you at this point if they ended up with Antonio Brown? No.
Would that make you mad?
I don't know.
It doesn't appear the Packers care. It doesn't appear the Packers care about wide receivers. So, I mean, from that perspective, or middle linebacker. So, I guess from that perspective, it can't make me mad if my organization doesn't care about the position. I mean, it'd be one thing if we cared about the position and we were trying to get them, and you know, we lost out on them to Seattle. Okay, fine. But I don't think they have any interest in doing anything like that. So, yeah, no. Not really.
Go do it.
I would love to do it. Yeah.
Would you do it, Steve?
Of course. Come on.
Leroy, you do it? Leroy, you go with Antonio?
He's been wanting Antonio Brown for like 4 weeks.
A long time ago. Yeah.
Four or five weeks he's been lobbying on the air to bring Antonio Brown in.
Yeah, bring him in. It ain't going to cost you nothing.
Nope. High reward, low risk. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
If it doesn't work, you just cut him and you move on.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just
it. But I bet you they give him a 2-year deal. Everybody's out. We're out. We're out. But for the rest of the year, I would think some people. See, you weren't here because you had to step up, take care of some business. Yeah. I told Steve he hit rock bottom. And I think that's the reason why I would definitely talk to him. I mean, because he got a mugshot, man. That changes people a little bit. And the next thing you know, I've missed my opportunities. Now you got to try to get it back. So, yeah, of course. But that's what Packer fans want, though, to do something. And I also said, Gary, you missed this, too. I also said that I would trade for J.J. Watt and bring him in here because you missed out on
Khalil Mack. Everybody's talking about – who talked about that? Was that Rob Reicher? Did he write something on that, too? I think he might have wrote – y'all might not like him no more, but yeah.
Why they won't like him no more? What do you mean?
Y'all like Rob Reicher more.
Why? Just cause for one thing? He's not Colin Cowherd. Come on, stop it.
No, he's definitely not Colin Cowherd. I would agree with you on that. Speaking of Colin Cowherd, that leads into our next topic here in the 4 o'clock hour. Is there more criticism on Aaron Rodgers than any other top quarterback out there? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. The segment brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. For Grizzly winners, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now, get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.